Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.
In the few minutes we have together, I'd like to speak to you. My title is called Everything Else is Rubbish. Tell your neighbor, everything else is rubbish. Now, I get that title, that statement, from what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. I'm going to read this from a few different translations, starting with the Amplified Bible. It says, "But whatever form of things I had, that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything," say everything, "I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything, and I consider it to be mere rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." The Living Bible says, "Everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have put aside all else, considering it worth less than nothing." The contemporary English version says, "Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else, and I count it to be garbage. All I want is to know Christ." The Passion Bible says, "To truly know Him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all of my boasting on the garbage heap. It's like a pile of manure to me now." Does everyone know what manure is? There might be some more modern terms for that I won't say. But compared to knowing Jesus, everything else is like a pile of manure. All I want is to know Christ. The Message translation says, "All the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Master, everything," say everything, "everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ." Now, if you look up the word that is translated as rubbish, garbage, dog dung, it actually literally means dung or refuge. Paul said, you know, he wrote this in prison. And it was just before his death. He'd been a Christian he'd known the Lord for over 30 years. And Jesus had appeared to him a number of times, beginning with his salvation in Acts chapter 9. And then in Acts 22, he had a vision of Jesus. Jesus told him, "Get out of Jerusalem." Then in Acts 23, Jesus appeared to Paul. He was on his way on a ship to Rome, and the Lord appeared to him. And then in 2 Corinthians, he spoke about being taken out of his body and going up into heaven and hearing things that he couldn't even reveal. The Apostle Paul had been used by God like very few people. He wrote more than half of the New Testament. And yet, after 30 years of knowing Jesus and seeing Him multiple times, he said, "All I want is to know Jesus better. Everything else is rubbish, garbage, insignificant, worthless, dog dung, a pile of manure." Paul said his determined purpose in life was to know Jesus more. Let me tell you, knowing Jesus is the greatest thing in life. There is nothing else that can compare. There is nothing that is as wonderful as Him. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9, verse 23, "This is what the Lord says, don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who want to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me." See, God sent Jesus to the earth so that we could know God. so that we could have a relationship with him. In 1 John 5, verse 20, the Bible says, we know that the Son of God has come so that we can know the true God. That's why Jesus came. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only true God and he's eternal life. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father also. To know Jesus, that's what really counts in life. You know, thinking about it, it's a 30-year celebration. Kind of interesting that Paul had known the Lord about 30 years when he made this statement. And I've known the Lord for 44 years. And what I've come to understand is that nothing else matters beside knowing him better. We know that Jesus came to the earth to save us. Jesus came to the earth so we could be forgiven, born again, made righteous. But he also came to the earth so that we can know God, that we can have a relationship with him. That's what counts. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. On judgment day, many, say many, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we performed many miracles in your name, but I will reply, I never knew you. You see, it's not as important what you do for God as knowing Jesus intimately and progressively getting to know him better. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, anyone, say anyone, who wanders away and does not remain faithful to the teaching of Christ has no relationship with God. But those who remain in the teaching of Christ have a wonderful relationship with both the Father and the Son. Now, in my 44 years of serving the Lord, I've seen many wander away. Literally thousands of people wander away and not remain faithful to the Lord and not remain faithful to the teachings of Christ. And let me tell you, Jesus came to the earth so that we can know God and have a relationship with him. And if you've received Jesus into your heart, then you have come to know God. Or let me put it this way, you've been introduced to him, but to really know him is a lifelong pursuit. In Hosea 6 verse 3, it says, oh, that we might know the Lord, that we would press on to know him. Paul the apostle prayed that we would come to know the Lord intimately. In Ephesians 1 verse 17, he said, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. Paul prayed that we would know the Lord more intimately than we ever have before. We need to have that same attitude, family. Our lifelong pursuit is to know Jesus better every single day. In 2 Peter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, since these virtues are already planted deep within you and you possess them in abundant supply, they will keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus more intimately. You see, knowing Jesus is something you have to pursue. It's something that you have to put first. It's something that you have to prioritize. It has been said Christianity is not a religion. What is it? It is a personal relationship with the Lord. And how many of you know relationships require deliberate effort? How do you get to know your wife, your husband, your friend? The only way you get to know them is by spending time with them. I can honestly say that I know my wife and she knows me. She just has to look at me and I know what she's thinking. I look at her, I know what she's thinking. Because we've spent so much time together. And family, Many Christians know about God, but they don't really know Him because they don't spend time with Him, talking to Him. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more intimately you will know Him and the more you will become like Him. And the Bible says in James 4, verse 7, when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. So it begins with you. You have to first draw near, pursue the Lord, and then God draws near to you. So it's our responsibility to grow close to the Lord. So how do you draw close to God? I'm going to share five things with you that I learned from Apostle Theo, not just by what he taught me, but what I saw in him. And he still does these things today, more than ever. Number one, to know God more intimately, you must spend time with God in prayer. Prayer is our greatest Christian privilege, but we might as well admit it's our greatest Christian failure. Knowing God, prayer is where it all begins. And Jesus set the example. Jesus prayed all the time. There's so many scriptures that talk about it. I'm going to give you four real quick. Mark 1:35. The next morning, Jesus got up long before daylight, left the house while it was dark, and made his way to a secluded place to give himself to prayer. In Matthew 14:23, when the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so that he could be by himself and pray, and he stayed there alone late into the night. In Luke 6, verse 12, it said, one day, soon afterwards, he went out into the mountains to pray, and he prayed all night. In Luke 5:16, it says, Jesus often, say often, often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. Now, how many of you know Jesus said that he didn't do anything or say anything unless the Father told him? Well, when did the Father tell him? When Jesus spent all that time in prayer. If Jesus needed to spend this time praying to know the Father, surely we too need to follow his example and make prayer a daily part of our life. I encourage you to pray in the Spirit every day. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. You see, when you pray in the Spirit, it enables you to really fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you're speaking directly to God. 1 Corinthians 14:2, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says because he's not speaking to people, but to God. He's speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. I don't understand what I'm saying. Romans 8:26, and when the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, what's our weakness? For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. There's many times I'm not sure what to pray, but that's why I thank God. God gave me the Holy Spirit. It said, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. When you pray in tongues in the Spirit, you're praying the will of God for your life. I love the Passion Bible. It says that the Holy Spirit prays for us in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. When you pray in tongues, even though you don't know what you're saying, the Holy Spirit is praying the will of God, the destiny of God for your life. And in verse 28, it goes on to say, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. The Passion Translation says, when you pray in tongues, every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's plan of bringing good into our life. Do you know that God has a plan of bringing good into your life? And when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit works in your life to enable those good things to come into your life and the destiny of God for your life to be achieved. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, the Apostle Paul, the one who knew the Lord, who saw him multiple times, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues privately more than any of the rest of you. Why do you think the Apostle Paul spent so much time praying in tongues? Because it is a wonderful way of coming to know the Lord intimately. I'm so thankful that one thing I learned from Apostle Theo was praying in the Spirit. Sometimes I go to his house 5 o'clock in the morning, which is a miracle to get me anywhere at 5 o'clock in the morning. But he got me at his house at 5 a.m. and we'd pray 2 hours in the Spirit. When I was 16 years old, I remember my parents' house, I'd put on the LP. You know what an LP is? This is going way back. LP, I'd put on Phil Driscoll and I'd lie down in our den on my face and I'd pray in the Spirit for an hour and the presence of God would come into that room. I learned that from this man. 44 years later, I'm still doing the same thing. The second way of becoming intimate with the Lord is by worshiping Him. The Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 19, I will enter into God's presence to worship only Him. Watch this. I have found the gateway to God. I have found the pathway to His presence. I will offer all my loving praise to you. Now, that's written by David. David said, I found the gateway to His presence. What is it? Worship. David knew God intimately. And what do we all know David as? A worshiper. David, there's 150 Psalms. David wrote at least 75 of them, maybe more, because some of them they're not sure about. There's 75 songs that David wrote as he was worshiping the Lord. Let me tell you, I always start out my prayer time. Before I ask God for anything, I start out worshiping Him. David said, I will worship the Lord every day of my life. I determine I'm going to worship God every day of my life. The first thing I want to do when I wake up in the morning is say, Lord, I worship You. Father, I worship You. Jesus, I worship You. Holy Spirit, I worship You. I worship You, O God. If you want to get to know the Lord intimately, have a lifestyle of worship. When I watch people worship here in church, I can tell how intimate you are with God. Because if you stand looking around, picking your nose, looking at the time, it tells everything. Say, I'm a worshiper. Number three, to develop an intimacy with God is you have to read and study the Word of God. In Psalm 119, David said this, in verse 125 from the Passion Bible, he said, I need more revelation from your word. I need more revelation from your word to know more about you. You can never really know the Lord without knowing His word, because His word reveals who He is. And when you read the Word of God, it's God speaking to you. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Scripture says, everything in the Scriptures is God's Word. All of it is useful for teaching, helping people and correcting them and showing them how to live. The Passion Translation says this, every Scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit. So when you read the Bible, that is God talking to you. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, people need every word that God has spoken. Let me tell you, you can't pick and choose which parts of God's word you want to receive and believe and which parts you don't want to. Jesus said, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will remain forever. You know, cultures change, moral standards change. Things that are acceptable in the world today people have been embarrassed about it 30 years ago. Today, they're proud of it. But it doesn't matter what the world says. We have to stay with what does the Word of God say. The Word of God never changes. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus said, if you want to build your life on the rock, you do it by hearing and doing what the Word of God says. If you want to get to know God better, you need to get to know His Word. Read the Bible every day. Study the Word of God. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Speak it out. And then do what it says. I don't have time, but I would encourage you to go read all of Psalm 119 from the Passion Bible, because in the whole thing, David just talks about his love for the Word of God. Number four, if you want to grow intimate with the Lord, you need to attend church every week to hear anointed teaching of God's word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says this, the Passion Translation, and he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, some with grace to be prophets, some with grace to be evangelists, some with grace to be pastors, some with grace to be teachers. Listen, if you're a teacher, a pastor, apostle, remember this, it's all by the grace of God. These great, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all of the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Now, watch this. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. Your apostle and pastor are here to help you to know God. And I really believe, family, that we cannot really know the Lord unless we are planted in the church of God. And every week we come to church and we're hearing God's word. So much of what I learned about God, I learned from Apostle Theo and other ministers. So much that I learned. I remember listening to Jerry Savelle. I used to have a Walkman. Do you know what a Walkman is? And I'd go to the gym with my Walkman and I'd listen to preaching. Listen, Apostle Theo, listen. I was listening to Jerry Savelle about knowing God. And it so impacted my life. That's why, listen, it is so important that we need to be in church every single Sunday. Say amen. Because if you could reach maturity and really know the Lord without the fivefold ministry gifts, then why did Jesus give these gifts to us? Number five, if you want to progressively become more intimate and really know Jesus, you have to obey him. To know God intimately, say this, to know God intimately requires my obedience to him. If you want to know God, you've got to obey him. Because when you really know him, you will do what he says. In 1 John 2 verse 3, the scripture says, here's how you can be sure that we've truly come to know God. How can I be sure that I've truly come to know God? If we keep his commands. If someone says, if someone claims, I've come to know God by experience, yet doesn't keep God's commands, he's a phony. Throughout scripture, obedience is closely linked to knowing God. The Bible says in Genesis 6 verse 9, Noah was a just and a righteous man, blameless in his evil generation. Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. And the Easy English Bible says that he stayed near God in his life. It's interesting that in the same chapter, Genesis 6, in verse 22, it says Noah obeyed God. He did everything God told him to do. Can I tell you, intimacy with God comes by obeying him. If you want to be intimate with the Lord, you have to surrender yourself. Say, Lord, I will do whatever you tell me, and I will do whatever your word says. Can you say amen? Amen? In 1 John 2 verse 5, it says, we can be sure that we've truly come to live in intimacy with God, not just by saying, I'm intimate with God, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He said, not my will be done. Father, your will be done. He said, I don't do anything and I don't say anything unless the Father tells me. We are to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We are to imitate him. We are to live like he did. And Jesus was obedient to the Father. The more you get to know God, the more you will become like him and walk as he did, and the more you will obey him and depart from sin. 1 John 3 verse 4 says, anyone who indulges in sin lives in moral anarchy, for the definition of sin is breaking God's law. And you know without a doubt that Jesus was revealed to eradicate sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live with him will not sin. But the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. Now, we all make mistakes. We do commit sin, and that's why the Bible says it, confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. But there's a difference in making a mistake and living deliberately in a sinful life. And if you want to know the Lord, or when you do know him, you will not want to sin, because you want to please God. Let me tell you, God wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. And I would encourage you, you know, after 44 years, I've been in ministry for 40 years, and it's more clear to me than ever before that Jesus is the main thing, and he's got to continue to be the main thing. Nothing else satisfies. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
The more time you spend with God, the more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend reading his word, the more time you spend listening to anointed teaching and preaching, the more you come to church, the more that you obey God, the more you will know him. You will know his voice. Amen. Do you receive this today? Lift your hand real quick and say, Lord, say, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I want to know you more. That is my determined purpose. Everything else is rubbish, garbage, insignificant. All I want is to know you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.